Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace that allows us to live in this world. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would talk to us, Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my God and my Savior. Amen. So we've been going over the prayer of Jabez over the last 4 weeks, and now this is the fourth part of the prayer of Jabez. But it's kind of odd that we should find ourselves in Romans, of all books, to help us with this fourth part of Jabez's prayer. But I want you to understand one thing. One thing. You see, the problem that many people who followed Jesus in Paul's day is that they did not understand what Paul explains in the second verse of today's scripture. He's concerned about Christians continuing to live in the relationship, to continue to live in a relationship with sin, that is continually living in sin. Many who are on the fringe with God back then, or who do not believe in God back then, would call those people who are Christians but who sin, they would call them hypocrites. Hypocrites. So Paul states this, read it with me. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We are those who have died to being disobedient to God. Well, maybe you know it up here, that when you were baptized in Christ, when you believed in Christ, when you were plunged below the water, or either symbolically or physically, you died with Jesus Christ. You were buried with him. You died to sin. Why then? Why death with Christ to sin? Paul goes on to tell us this way. Read it with me. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Well, there you have it. We need to understand that we have died to sin in order that we may live a new life. Live a new life. A new life in Christ. What does it mean to live a new life then? Is Paul simply referring to living eternally with God in heaven? Just about the life after death that we will all experience? Well, there is that aspect of living a new life, but Paul clears it up with a verse later. Read it with me. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? But do you see what Christ has done? Let me underline it for you. That the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to what? Sin. The problem Paul saw was believers felt as though they were entrapped by sin. Even though they were followers of Christ, they couldn't seem to get sin's grip to lessen on them. And Paul wants to correct this thinking by telling them that due to their relationship with Christ, their baptism in Christ, that sin has been, past tense, has been done away with. It's gone. We no longer need to be slaves to sin, a thing of the past, because we have been given new bodies. We have been, now and forever, set free from sin. And this is good words. I think a hearty amen or hallelujah should be erupting from your mouths. All right. Sin, and by sin I mean disobedience to God or not loving God or not loving your neighbor, is something Christians struggled with then and even today. Which is why Paul addresses it and reminds the Christians then that they have new bodies, that they have been set free from sin, and yet it is, like I said, still a problem for Christians today. When temptation knocks on our door, we open it instead of shutting the door. We open the door and invite it in. It could be pride. It could be greed. It could be envy. It could be jealousy. It could be lust. It could be hate. It could be anger. And the list goes on. And for some of us, we are even blind to our own shortcomings. The things that lead us to become more disobedient to God. The things that lead us into hurting others or harming others. Boy, I'm glad I'm not a sinner. Not like those Christians. Pride has a funny way of wiggling its way into our lives. Instead of feeling free or living free of sin, we feel entrapped by it. And even though Paul clearly reminds us that we have been given new bodies, that we have been set free, that we don't need to be slaves to it, we remain entrapped. We remain slaves. The prayer of Jabez, this fourth part of the prayer that we're talking about today, it really helps us address this issue. Remember the four parts to the prayer of Jabez? The first part is, oh God, that you would bless me in whatever way God decides to bless you. We don't limit God's blessings. We say, God, bless me, and we allow God to bless me. Secondly, Jabez asked God to expand what? His territory. Expand his influence over others, that he might share God with others. Third, Jabez asked for God's hand to be what? To be with him or upon him, that he would be guided and empowered by God. And we see that by the empowerment, the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then the fourth part of Jabez's prayer is that he asks God to what? To protect us, to keep us from harm. Now we can look at harm and we sense that we do not want to be physically, emotionally, or even spiritually harmed, hurt, injured, or damaged. God, keep us from harm. But in several translations, that Hebrew word is translated instead of harm, is asking God to keep us from evil or to keep us from sin, as though it's something that we do. It's asking God to keep us from being one who does harm, who does evil, who does sin, or thus being disobedient to God. To not do that which is not in God's will for us, for people in general and for Christians in particular. You know, this is really a powerful part of Jabez's prayer, one that we should all include in our time with God every day, even every hour. God, keep me from harm. Keep me from evil. Keep me from sin. God, don't let me commit actions or think thoughts that are against your will. God, don't let me commit actions or think thoughts that lead me to become disobedient to you or to harm another person. God, don't let me commit actions or think thoughts that will smear your name. So in asking God to keep us from harm, to keep us from evil, or to keep us from sin, we are asking God to keep us from doing harm, from doing evil, from doing sin. And I believe if we intentionally put this, that's not strong enough. I think if we intentionally commit ourselves, No, still not strong enough. If we intentionally ask and live into this request in our lives each day, people would be drawn to God. Would be drawn to God because we would live lives that are pleasing to God. Because we would live lives that are attractive to others. Because we would live lives that would glorify God. And thus people would want to know, what is it that you have that I'm missing? What is it that you do that I don't? Why is it that you're so at peace with life even in the midst of difficulty? Why? And if we were to ask God daily to keep us from committing harm, from doing evil or sin, our lives would really then become attractive to other people in the outside world. And I believe we would live in greater peace in our own lives because we'd no longer be slaves to sin. Because we'd actually be living into the fact that Christ has set us free from sin. Because Paul gives us the secret to living this life that Jabez's prayer asks for. And I'll share it in a moment. But listen first to this experience I had. When I was working at Ford, I had met this guy, and he told me that he was a Christian, and so we began to talk back and forth. And one lunchtime, we got together, and he told me he had recently attended a 3-day Promise Keepers event, and he had gotten his life right with God. But he had a problem. And it was a problem that men, and in more recent years, more women have, and that's pornography. He told me that he had a file of the stuff that he had in his van, but that he needed to get rid of it because it was tempting him. God was moving in his life not to be harmed or to harm, not to perpetuate evil or sin in his life. And I wanted to be helpful, and I wanted to help him get rid of it. But we were at work, and you just don't dump it in a trash can at work. So he gave me the folder. I said I would take it for him. Of course, being a man, it was now my temptation. He gave it to me at lunch, and so I just left it in the car, and we walked in. Now, after work, I was attending a class on how to counsel people, and I was able to take it and give it to one of the instructors, and she was able to get rid of it. Now, I have to confess, I may have been tempted to take a peek. But my prayer was to God, for God to keep me from evil, to keep me from harm, to keep me from sinning in the midst of helping this other friend. And God enabled me to do that. Now, what enabled me to do it with God was two things. 1 Corinthians 10:13, a scripture that I had been memorizing, says this: no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. But when you are tempted, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, maybe God was tempting me with this folder, testing my character to see if I would look for a way out or if I would invite sin in. I knew that there was a way out. And the way out for this other, I knew I was the way out for this other Christian man, but now I was in the crosshairs of temptation. And that way out for me was to keep my eyes fixed on God, fixed on Jesus. And as I traveled from work to the place where we met, I had my radio on, I was singing praise songs to God. My focus remained on God and not the temptation at the door. I stayed connected with God so that I wouldn't be tempted more. And this was part of how I got out of temptation. And part two was to give it to someone else, was to give this folder to someone else, to close that door. And that happened to be the instructor at the class I was attending. Now, the secret to living a sin-free life, or to living free, is what Paul goes on to say in Romans. Count yourselves dead to sin, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God, in Christ Jesus. Count yourselves dead to sin. Do you count yourselves dead to sin? Do you count yourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus? Do you say, God, I am yours. I don't belong to evil one. I don't want to commit harm or evil. Paul says it this way. Read it with me. Therefore, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Do you see it? The focus has to be on God, to offer yourselves to God, not just in the morning, not just in the evening, but whenever you're tempted to go astray, to focus your thinking on God, not some of the time, but all of the time. Why? So that you can be an instrument of righteousness, i.e. a Christian who is serving God, who's doing the right things, not the wrong things, all of the time, not some of the time, who does not fall into harm or evil or sin. You see, to focus on God, to focus on doing what's right, doesn't allow you to do what's wrong, because you're focusing on what's right. You see, when we ask God to keep us from harm, to not allow ourselves to commit evil or sin, we have a role to play in that. We don't just say, God, protect me all day, and then that's it. We'd be foolish to think that way. And a part of the role that we have to play is to commit ourselves to God, to look for a way out when we're tempted, because we will be tempted to do something other than what God would have us do. And when we are, we say what? God, what would you have me do? What is the act that would lead me into righteousness or to right relationship with you? We don't shut God out, because then we play with sin. And sin is a fire, and we will get burned. You see, I believe God will take care of us like this filter. God protects us. Even when we're not aware of it, God is protecting us. But friends, we should be asking God to protect us and not assuming that God will always protect us, because sometimes, frankly, God's going to test us to see if we are going to stay under the protection of God's wings or whether we're going to step outside and do our own thing. We can't have it both ways. You can't serve God and serve evil. It's one or the other. It's a choice. And when we're faced or tempted by sin, it is then that we really need to lean into God. Lean into God and allow God to support us so that we won't be harmed, so that we won't do evil, so that we won't sin. We need to stay underneath the protection of the almighty arm of God instead of wandering off like we oftentimes do. You see, God is mighty, but God allows us to do what we want to do, to stay under his protection or to wander off, which is not always in our best interest to wander off. I guess the question for you this week is, will you trust God this week to keep you from harm, to keep you from evil, to keep you from being disobedient? Will you trust God this week for that? Will you trust God to keep you from harm, to keep you from evil, to keep you from sin this week? Will you trust God this week? Will you lean into God when you are tempted to do something on your own and close the door to doing harm, close the door to doing evil, close the door to sin? Will you lean into God when you're tempted? This week, will you keep your eyes, your thoughts, your heart on God throughout every moment of every day this week, so that you will be kept from doing harm, that you will be kept from doing evil, so that you will be kept from sinning. Will you keep your eyes and your thoughts on God this week?
Yes.
Then do it. The focus is always on God. God will protect you. Stay underneath God's protection. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Let us pray. God, we are entrusting you this week to protect us, to keep us from harm, to keep us from evil or sinning. And so, God, we ask that you would help us to see in a way maybe we haven't seen in a long time, to protect us, to see the evil around us, but to protect us from it, to see the harm that we could do, but to keep us from doing that harm, to help us to turn from it. And Lord, when we're tempted to sin, God, give us a way out. Help us to see it. Open that window as we close that door to the temptation, to the sin, to the harm that we could do. And Lord, we glorify you in advance, knowing that you will open our eyes to see, but that you will also protect us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,